So first of all, thank everyone for coming. The shiurim this summer are all Schuster for Shalema for Chaim Elaza Ben Rafalea, who was the miyasid of this summer kail many, many, many years ago, and there were many, many shiurim, and all the people learning should be a schus for Shalema. The night was sponsored by the Zlotowitz family, with Nishmas from Mary Yaakov and Rabbi Aaron, whose yahrzeit was on the first day Rosh Chodesh. I want to give a thank you to Rabbi Yastreich for coming in from Lakewood to give the share. The floor is yours. I'm done.
Is it clear mic or it's annoying? Okay. Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to start off the series of this summer share. Thank you, everyone, not here. Thank you for inviting me. Today's share, I hope it's going to be very enjoyable for everyone. It's a little hands-on. I brought a bunch of toys and things that I built and bought to try to bring down an abstract concept a little more to life. And there's some topics that, you know, I'm speaking to an older group over here, that some of you may have learned some of it in school, and some of you may be more familiar, but some more, some less. So I give the presentation today as in a way that I don't assume anyone knows anything about the topic. I start from extremely, extremely, extremely simple, and I build it up. And my hope is that in about a half hour, 45 minutes from now, when we finish, whatever I said should have sounded extremely simple and well, I didn't really say anything. Everything is so simple. That's the goal, and everything's very simple. Obviously, for some people, it's easier. Some people, it's harder, and that's understood, but I want to keep it extremely, extremely simple, and this way, you should walk away with the clerk act. For example, I'd like to get to speaking about Bez Hashem. There's now Shesh Shredesh. There's the Moilid HaLevana. What does it mean, the Moilid? How did the moon go through phases? How does it get bigger and smaller? And then also, people get very confused. The Moilid happens here. Happens at the stroll, where does it happen, and all that. So I hope that will all get clear. But before we speak about that, we'll back up and speak about the stars, the sun, and then we'll build it up and understand how everything works with Hashem. That's the goal tonight. So we'll start extremely, extremely simple. We have over here a globe. Everyone knows today we live on a round ball, at least almost everyone. I have met some flat earthers that say the world is flat, and it's a very enjoyable topic to speak about it, but you can't deny anything in life, I guess, like everything. But most normal people will tell you, at least, that the world is a round ball, a globe. It's not a ball. A ball is something you play with, but the shape of a ball is a sphere. So this is the shape of the Earth. This is how what we know it today. Now, this ball is constantly spinning around. It takes about 24 hours to spin around one time around. Now, where does everyone live? We live somewhere on the world. So I have a little, it's a kinder jingle. His name is Yankee. We'll stick him over here on the world. And he lives over here in New York. Sometimes he tends to jump off. But if the world is spinning around one time, this little person will spin around once every single day. That's the way we have it. And because of that, we have something very simple. Every day we know, we go outside, we see the sun rising in the east, it travels through the sky, and it sets in the west. Why do we see the sun rising and setting? So the truth is, it's not only the sun, it's also the moon, it's planets, stars, everything goes around once a day. I live in Lakewood, and if you know the area, I live in Sodi Court, that's near Albert Oak area, near Westova. And the development next to us is called Lakewood Commons. Between the two of them, there's still a little forest. I moved there 6 years ago, but now they knocked down most of it to build new houses. When I moved in 6 years ago, it took about 5 minutes to walk through the woods. In a week, you drive around. It's much faster to drive. But on Shabbos, I walked through the woods. So one Friday night, I was walking home with a friend of mine. And it was drizzling that night. So he tells me, it's such a shame that it's drizzling. There is no moon to light up the forest. Obviously, when there was a moon, right? The moon gives off a lot of light. Then it's easier to walk through the forest. So I told him, even if it wouldn't be cloudy, there'll be no moon in the sky. Looks at me and says, it's not Rosh Chodesh today. Everyone knows Rosh Chodesh, the moon is too small. It was like a week before Rosh Chodesh. So he says, why not? I said, because the moon didn't rise yet. He says, what? The moon rises? I said, yes. Every single day, the moon will rise and the moon will set. He says, it's not true. I said, why are you saying it's not true? He tells me, because I see the moon even during the day. I said, it's true. Many times you'll see the moon during the day, but it doesn't mean the moon doesn't rise and set. About every 24 hours, the moon will rise and set. Every day of the month, a different time, but it will rise and set. And that particular night, I told him it won't rise till about 10, 11 o'clock at night. So we're walking home at show at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. You said you would not find any moon in the sky for another couple of hours. There'll be no moon in the sky, even if it would have been cloudy. He says, why does that happen? Why does the moon rise and set? I said, why does the sun rise and set? He says, well, you look at the school laws, the earth spins around one time. And even though the sun basically stays in its place every single day, but we think we're staying in one place. So really the earth spun around and the sun stayed in one place. But we think that we stayed in one place and the sun will go around us every single day. And that's why you see the sun rising and setting. So let me ask you a question. I'm standing over here in this room, let's say, and I'm facing the Arna Kodesh. If I would spin around one time and convince myself I didn't move, it would seem to me the Arna Kodesh went around me once. Look, the Arna Kodesh is in front of me. Now it's to my right. Now I can't see it. It's behind me. Now to my left. And again in front of me. So if somehow I could convince myself I didn't move, that would be a pretty hard thing to do. It would seem to me the Arna Kodesh went around me one time. So the same thing is, the earth spins, the sun stays in one place, looks like the sun goes around. But if you think about it for a minute, the Arna Kodesh is not the only thing in this room. A room full of people, tables, chairs, walls, whatever you have. If I spin around one time and convince myself I didn't move, it would seem to me the whole entire room went around me one time because I'm the one spinning. If so, if we have a moon out there in space and the earth is the one spinning around one time in 24 hours, it will also look like the moon will go around the earth once every 24 hours. So Hashem tells me that night, wow, it's so simple. I never thought about it. And that's the truth. It's a simple thing. Many people do know about it, but not everyone. Because you hear about it once, there's no reason you should forget it. If the reason why the sun rises and sets every day is because the earth spins, then every single thing in the sky will spin around once a day, and you will see the sun rising and setting, the moon rising and setting, planets, stars, everything goes around every single day. That's the way they learn today. All science books will tell you this way. This is the way it's accepted today. However, there was another way to understand. Until about 400 years ago, it was accepted for always probably. Maybe there was someone in the year 200 that said different, but basically, since Chasen made gracious, everyone believed a certain way till about 400 years ago. And the last couple of 400 years, it changed a little bit. I mean, actually, it changed the way I explain today. But what did they used to understand? So before I explain what they used to understand, even today, and this is bothers me that it's not in science books, it's only in amateur astronomy books, because amateur astronomy books are people that go ahead, look up in the sky. If you want to call me a professional amateur astronomer, because real astronomers, astrophysics today, that's what's studied in colleges. But astronomy is more than astronomy. Astro means the sky. Nami is the numbers of calculations. So astronomers are people who look up in the sky, you know the constellations, know the stars, know how things work. I made it into a profession, so it's a professional amateur astronomer. But it's amateur astronomy, that's what technically, or really celestial mechanics, as I would call it, is what I'm teaching today. But the idea is, Dear was speaking about people that go outside and look up at the sky. And we said before, even though really the earth is spinning, what does it look like? It looks like the sky is spinning. So in amateur astronomy books, they explain you that if you go outside and you want to recognize stars in the sky, you come back an hour later, it won't be in the same place because the sky is spinning around us once a day. The sky spins around. So what they call it like this, they say, it's the word they say. They say true motion is the earth is spinning, but apparent motion, what does it appear that the sky is moving? Now, is it true motion? Is it proven 100%? I don't know if it's proven 100%. Maybe we can discuss that afterwards. I don't think it's proven 100%, but it's for sure more probable the way they learn today. That's for sure. So that's the way it's accepted in science, if the earth spins, but they say the apparent motion, it appears that the whole entire universe will spin around the earth once a day. To explain this a little better, I have another model called a celestial sphere. This ball over here is called a celestial sphere. What's a celestial sphere? So celestial means something in the sky, and sphere means the shape of a ball, is a sphere. So we have a sphere of the whole entire sky. This is what this model is. Inside is a 4-inch globe, and surrounding is a plastic clear ball, a 16-inch sky globe, celestial sphere. Now, what's this all about? Let's explain. And sitting there, it's a little bit harder, but if you go into open area and ask someone, what's the shape of the sky? Or where is the sky? They say, look up on top of your head is the sky. And that's true. The sky is above your head, but not only above your head. If you would have an open area, or even let's say it's possible, look down the street, down the avenue, what do you see? You see a house, tree, and above that's the sky. Any direction you would look, you see the house, tree, above that's the sky. In the morning when the sun comes up in the east, it's low down. It's not above your head, but it's in the sky. It sets in the evening in the west. It's low down, but it's in the sky. So the sky is shaped like a big yarmulke, a big dome on top of our heads. It comes down, down all the way till it touches the earth from this side, it touches the earth from that side, where it looks like it touches the earth on all sides. It's easy to visualize this in an open place like an ocean. There's nothing around you, just sky. The sky comes all the way down till it touches the water on all sides. So even though we live on a globe, it looks like we live on a flat circular disc, like a CD. Above our heads is big sky. The sky is this dome, this upside down bowl, is sitting, the rim of the bowl is sitting on the rim of the disc. That's how we view the world, as a flat disc and a big dome above our head. So we're standing over here in New York and looking up. So we're standing over here looking up, and we see a big dome on top of our head. So inside over here, I have a blue circular ruler. That's called the horizon ring. That will cut this ball in half. Because what does that mean? We're looking on top of our heads, and And we're standing over here in New York, looking up above our heads, and we see this big dome on top of our heads. But someone living on the other side of the world, in Australia, on the opposite side, he's also looking up, and he also sees a big dome on top of his head. He's looking up, we're looking down, or we're looking up and he's looking down, and we're looking side to side. But either way, we're looking exact opposite directions, both of us. So if we see a dome on top of our head, it's not the same dome in Australia. It's obviously some different sky. So the same way we have a dome, he also has a dome. That means that the sky is not only a dome, it's really a full wall, a full circle, a full sphere surrounding the globe on all sides. But because the earth is not made out of glass, it's not transparent, we can't see through to the other side. We can only see half of the sky at once, which looks like a big dome on top of us. The earth will be see-through. You'll see the second half beneath us. So at any given time, the world splits the sky in half, half above the horizon you can see, half under the horizon you cannot see. That's how we view the world, as a big dome on top of our head. But we know it's really the sky surrounds us completely on all sides. And once a day, the earth will spin around in 24 hours. We don't feel like we're moving. So it'll look like the whole big ball, the whole universe, will spin around the earth once every 24 hours, and they call that apparent motion. The whole entire sky will spin around us once in 24 hours. That's the way we view it. Very, very simple. Now, to understand the old way, very, very simple. The earth, they understood, stays in one place and doesn't spin. And the same way we're saying now, it looks like the universe spins around. The old way was, it actually happens. The universe once a day will spin around the earth once every 24 hours. The universe will go around. The sun is part of the universe. The sun will go around. The moon, stars, planets, everything is part of the universe. Everything will go around once every 24 hours. You'll see everything rising and setting because the universe is actually spinning. So what comes out is that in a practical note, everyone agrees it looks like the universe is spinning. And the question is, what causes it? Is the earth spinning makes that happen? Or it's actually spinning? So there's not much of a difference in the way we view the sky. And we can see every day the universe spinning. Shlomo Miller from Toronto comes to Lakewood every so often. So he has the Beis Haro over there on 4th and Madison. So I got a meeting with him and I asked the Shkola, so Shkola Gifter, could I say once a day, the earth spins? Now people are very upset. They say, it's connected, Chazal, different things. So I said, I don't know, I'll ask Shlomo. So I asked Shlomo Miller, he tells me standing on earth, it looks like the sky is spinning. Standing in the sky, it looks like the earth spins. I said, Rishkola, I'm asking a yes or no question. Could I say that the earth spins? He said, standing on earth, looks like the sky is spinning, and standing in the sky, looks like the earth spins. I said, Rishkola, you're not answering. I need to answer what I can do. He said the same thing a third time. He didn't want to answer. Okay. So we continued talking. A couple of minutes later, I said, it tends to jump off sometimes. A couple of minutes later, so they asked me if it was a private question. I said, no, not a private question. So a whole bunch of Yigalite and Rabbanim came in while I was speaking. So one of the Rabbanim alike, with their Shmuel Meir Katz, came in. So we're talking, and so he says, okay, so when the earth spins, that's what the word that Shmuel Miller said, those words. So Shmuel Meir Katz jumps up, Ashtrafer, you got the answer. He said the words, and he didn't argue. So that was from Shmuel Miller. But I asked Rabbi Levine, he was the one that gave me the real scum on my safer. He went through cover to cover. And he told me, that I should tell people both ways, the new way and the old way. I said, if it's hard, he said, tell them there is two ways. And I said, if that's hard, that's not a problem. I'll let us say the new ways. I got my psak, but I'm not coming to Paschal for anyone else. And I always find people that some people are very upset why I even care about the old way. Some people are very upset why I care about the new way. So I find all kinds of people. I'm not coming to say to annoy anyone. I'm just putting the facts down the way it is. And you can choose on your own, or you don't have to choose. There's no reason to choose either. Okay, either way. So now the idea is every day we see the sun rise and setting to the earth. Either earth is spinning, it looks like the universe spins, or the universe spins. That's the two ways to understand the daily motion of the sky. So sometimes in the beginning of the month, in the winter, you're looking for the new moon, to say Kiddush Levana, and someone taps you on the shoulder and says, there's no moon in the sky, the moon set. They look at him, what are you talking about? The answer is yes, the beginning of the month, the moon sets in the beginning of the night. And I'll explain soon exactly when that happens. But the idea is that the moon rises and sets, and sometimes you may miss Kiddush Levana because the moon set, and now it's not such a hard thing to understand. If the earth spins or the universe spins, everything in the sky will rise and set. Now, this is one argument of what happens once a day. Many people may have heard, does the earth go around the sun go around the earth? Now, we're not talking about the sun around the earth around the sun. No one says that once a day, the earth goes around the sun, and that's what makes the sun rise and set. So what are they talking about? They're talking about a whole different thing. They're talking about what happens once a year. So let's explain what that means. The way we're taught in school and earth science is every single day, the earth rotates on its axis. Here is a real stick in this globe, but there's no real stick in the sky. But it's as if there's a stick, imaginary stick, and the earth is rotating on those two points on that pole. While it does this 365 times, it will revolve one time around the sun. And that will take a year, about 365 days, to revolve one time around the sun. That will take 1 year. That's so we have a day for spinning, rotation, and revolution for the year. However, the old way is the earth stays put, and the sun will go around the earth, will come back to the same place a year later. So the question is, can't you see if the sun is moving? Answer is the same thing here. It looks like the sun is moving. So let me show you, for example. If I stand in this room and I hold this yellow ball, make it go around my head. So now I see it by the door. Now I see it by the back wall. Now by the window, by the front wall. I can't by the door. So I took this yellow ball, made it go around my head, and I see it with a background from this place, Midrash, at different places. But let me try this. I'm going to try to hold this ball as steady as possible in one place. And I'm going to go around the ball. Look, now I see the ball by the door, now by the back wall, now by the window, now by the front wall, and again by the door. See, even though I kept the ball in one place, but because I went around the ball, it seemed to me that the ball changed positions. So today, when they say the earth is the one going around the sun once a year, the background that is not a show, the background is stars, but it will look like the sun's background will change as the earth will go around once around the sun. So again, they say real motion is the earth is traveling around the sun, but what does it appear to be? It appears that the sun travels around the earth once a year and will come back to the same place relative to the stars. Now, which stars does it go near? So there's something called mazalis. Mazalis are, so really there's something called constellations. Constellations is, to keep it simple, someone wants to recognize the stars in the sky. How do you recognize dots? So everyone knows the kudos. What's the difference between a tsere and a shva? How do you recognize the difference? They're the same two black dots, the same size, same distance from each other. Their answer is they're set up differently on the page, above each other or near each other. That means even dots that are identical to each other, but the setup of dots you could recognize. So if the setup of thousands of stars in the sky, you could recognize the setup of dots. But all thousand at once is a little hard. So they took smaller areas, they used their imagination, and they connected the dots, they called it a lion, a bear, or whatever they called it in the sky. Now, does it look like a lion? Maybe yeah, maybe no. Sometimes you have a little imagination, sometimes a lot of imagination. Sometimes as much as imagination you would use, it wouldn't look like a picture of the sky. Mazel Tov, Aries, the ram, looks like three or four stars on a crooked line. It doesn't look like a sheep. There's no way it looks like a Tov. There's a book called H.A. Ray, The Stars, by H.A. Ray, and with the sedum, you make some tiny stars that you can't see even in the darkest places to make it look like a ram, but it looks like three or four stars. However, I go outside on a clear night, I see those three, four stars, I know those are the stars of Mazel Tov. Doesn't matter if it looks like it or not, I can recognize the stars. So most of these pictures are made up by over the years, over thousands of years, but they're just made up. You can make up probably much better pictures if you would like. But 12 of the 88 pictures do have a real meaning. They're the 12 mazalos, they're a shamash the sun, and we'll show what that means soon, and they have a shpa in the world. Each month is a connected another mazal. Everyone knows mazal Adar Dagim. So in Adar, is Dagim is the hashpa of fish, Pisces of Dagim. But the idea is, it's something in the sky that there are stars. Does it look like these 12 names or not? Again, maybe someone said there's a Malbim somewhere that before the Malbim looked more like those names. Could be. But either way, there are groups of stars in the sky. So we have over here, a reflector. Written on it are the 12 mazalos. Tle, Sher, Tumim, Sartan, Aryam, Subam, Aznaim, Akeshas, Kedi, Li, and Dagim. So we have 12 mazalos near each other, 12 pictures. These each officially look like the stars, look like one of these names. One near each other, there are 12 of them in a row. But it's not just a row, really, it's a full ring, it's a belt that goes all the way around the wheel. Now, that means Dagim will be near Tle. So we have a full ring of the 12 mazalos that go around the sky. Now I can put it on the correct place over here on the celestial sphere. So now we have it over here, wherever it says Tle, all the stars of Tle. Where it says Shur, the stars of Shur, and so on. Each, where it says that name, are the picture of those stars behind it. Now this is the path of the sun once a year. In this model, we said, every single day, the whole universe will spin around once in 24 hours, but the sun goes around once a year. So we have over here a little gold bull, maybe hard to see it, but the idea is this gold bull spins around the earth, takes 365 days for it to go once around the earth, next to where? Next to, near the mazalos. So at least some time, the sun will be near Tle, the stars of Tle, in Ir, near the sun, near the stars of Shar, in Sivan, Tumim, and so on, till all the way in other time will be near Dagim, and once again, Nisan, near Tle. So the sun travels through the mazalos near different stars every month, and after a full year, it made one full ring around the whole entire sky. Now, every single day, all the mazalos will rise and set, because the whole entire universe rises and sets. So the sun near Mazel Tle will rise and set every single day, and doesn't make a difference, everything will rise and set, but once a year, its own ring, it will go around the ring once a year till it come back to the same place. Now, even though this is more correct, this model, this bull, to understand it's a little easier, I made this big wheel, and we'll get the concept a little better, even though it's not as correct as this, but it'll bring out the point a little bit better. So we have over here Mizrach and Mairav, and every single day we have all the stars will rise in the east, and the Mizrach will travel through the sky, and it will set in the Mairav in the west, and every day on the horizon set. This table is the horizon. Above the table are the stars in the sky. Under the table are the stars that are under, that cannot be seen, are not in the sky. But always half the wheel, half the ring will be above in the sky, and half will be under. Six above, six below, or five and two halves above, five and two halves below. Half the ring is above, half the ring is below. As one rises, a different one sets. So we have 12 mazalos in the sky, and throughout 24 hours, they rise and set, and they keep on going around and around 24 hours. So flare will rise. To keep it simple, even though I know throughout the year the time of sunrise and sunset change throughout the year, to keep it simple, every day is always the sunrise at 6 o'clock, and sunset is 6 a.m. This is sunrise, at 6 p.m. is sunset. So flare will rise at the 6 a.m. 12 hours later at 6 p.m., flare will set. And the next 12 hours will spend under the horizon. This is how the mazalos work every single day. Everything rises and sets. Now, once a year, the sun will travel through the mazalos. So if the sun is on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in the beginning of Mazal Tov, throughout the year, it will travel together, it will travel through the mazalos the whole entire Nisan. It will travel from the beginning of Tov to the end of Tov. In Iyar, it will travel through Shar, in Sivan through Tumim. Every month, it will travel through another mazal. It will take one full year to go through all the mazalos. In Adar, it will travel through Dagim till the end of Adar. Once again, it will reach the beginning of Tov 12 months later. So it travels through the whole entire ring. It will take 1 year to travel through the ring. However, every single day, the sun with the mazalos will rise and set. So you have flare with the sun rising and setting, and it'll travel around and around. Sorry, I have that extra thing over here. The sun will rise and set together with flare, and it will set, and it'll go around every single day. So you have all the stars in the sky, mazalos rising and setting, and the sun also rises and sets. Now, Rashi explains in many places in Shas, and this is the way it is that every month, a different mazal will rise at sunrise, a different mazal will rise. Now, if I tell you that the reason we said before is everything rises and sets, it goes around every single day, but the earth spins. And if the earth spins around the 24 hours, that's what causes the stars to rise and set, and that's what causes the sun to rise and set. So if the sun will go around 24 hours, then, and it come back to the same place, and the stars will also go around 24 hours to come back to the same place. So if so, how does this work? Because the sun rises at 6 in the morning, and 12 hours later, the sun will set. Another 12 hours later, 24 hours later, the beginning, once again, the sun will rise. Every day, 24 hours later, the sun will rise. But if flare will take 24 hours to come around, then every single day at 6 o'clock in the morning, 24 hours later, flare should start to rise in the beginning of the day. And I'm telling you that every month, a different mazal will rise in the beginning of the day. The answer is, I said before, is the earth spins around in about 24 hours. Really, it takes 23 hours and about 56 minutes for the earth to spin around one time. Or the universe, however you want to learn, for the universe to spin around will be 4 minutes less than 24 hours. So that means like this. If you go outside tonight at 10 o'clock at night and look up at the sky, and see a star in the sky. Now move near a house, a building, and put that star, according to where you're standing, right near the building at a certain point on the corner of a house. You come back out tomorrow at, let's say tonight 10, tomorrow at 9:56, the star will be in the same position as it's tonight at 10 o'clock. Come out at 2 nights from now at 9:52, the star will be in the same position as tonight, 10 o'clock, because the star will come back to the same place 4 minutes less than a day. It's called a sidereal day, a star day. The sky spins around in 23 hours and about 56 minutes, the stars will come back to the same day. The reason why a day is 24 hours is because the solar day, we work with the sun. For the sun to come back to the same place is 24 hours. So that means like this. Mazal Tov and the sun will rise at 6 o'clock in the morning. It will travel through the sky. What causes is, we said also, the sun will travel the opposite direction. So if the sun will travel the opposite direction, the next day, Tleh will rise at 5:56, but the sun will travel a little bit into Tleh, so the sun will rise at 6 o'clock. But Tleh will rise 4 minutes earlier. The next day, Tleh will rise at 5:52. The sun has moved a little bit more into Tleh. The sun will rise at 6 o'clock. Every day, the sun will continue rising at 6 o'clock, but Tleh, every day, will rise 4 minutes earlier. Now, 4 minutes may not be that much. It's only 4 minutes. But after 30 days, 30 times 4 minutes is 120 minutes. That means 120 minutes is 2 hours. 30 days later, Tleh won't rise at 6 o'clock in the morning, it'll rise at 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 hours earlier. In that time, it's a month later, the sun will have traveled the whole entire Mazel Tle, and the sun will be holding in the beginning of Mazel Shur. Beginning of Mazel Shur, that's when the sun will rise, it'll be the next month. So 30 days later, Tle will rise at 4 o'clock in the morning. There are 12 mazalis in the sky. There are 24 hours a day. It takes 2 hours for each mazel to rise. By 6 o'clock, the whole entire Tle is in the sky. And by that time, the sun will rise at six, together with what? The next mazel, which is the next month, is Mazel Shur. And so on, that will continue. Every day, Mazel Shur will rise 4 minutes earlier, 4 minutes earlier. So 30 days later, Mazel Shur will rise at 4 o'clock in the morning. But then by 6 o'clock, the whole entire Shur will be in the sky, and the sun will rise together with the next mazel at the beginning of the next month. Every month, the sun will rise together with a different one, till another, the sun will rise together with Dagim throughout the month. And by the end of Adar, Dagim will rise at 4 o'clock in the morning, which will be the beginning of Nisan. The sun will rise at 6 o'clock together with Tle. In the morning, the sun will rise together with the stars from that month. That's how the mazalos work. And I hope it's clear. It's a little confusing for people. And many Gemaras that speak about this. And I hope this topic is clear. Any questions before we continue? Okay. What? So other base is really, this is really more of a astrological question, which means the hashpa of the stars. And I don't really know astrology. Maybe a drop more than a person that knows nothing, but not much. There's different people that speak about it. The many Sastra, I think Agra the Kala speaks about it. And I forgot what he says. I've seen either they say that other base is also the same mazel, or it's all 13, or I don't know. But the I don't have a rebbe to clear understanding of this. I don't want to say too much. I don't know. Fine. Now that's not enough. Now I'll speak about the moon. I hope this will open up the Indian a bit more clear. And now we'll get to speak about the moon, and we'll explain a little bit how moon phases work and how the moon works. Lights can be turned off. Not all of them. Okay, so whatever we could do, we'll try our best. Okay, whatever it is, it'll be good enough. My light is bright enough that I guess you got the idea. Fine. Here we go. So I guess like this, even though the ball's white, if there'd be no light in this room, you wouldn't be able to see this ball because there's no batteries, no bulbs, no fire on this ball. The same thing is with the moon. Whether the moon is white or gray, whatever color it is, you shouldn't be able to see the moon in the sky. How do you see the moon in the sky? Hashem created something called the sun. The sun gives off a lot of light. Now this light bulb lights up the white ball. The real sun lights up the real moon in the sky, and everyone can see the moon in the sky. Now, the moon goes through phases. It gets bigger and smaller. In a different sense, that actually gets bigger and smaller. If you read the circle, so I rank out in the Gezer. Next week, there's going to be a lookup. There's going to be about the supermoon that's going to happen on July 13th. The supermoon means it could be about 14% bigger, but they say most people can't really recognize the difference, that 14%. But there's something called a moon illusion. Every time a moon rises at the beginning of the night, the moon will be look very large. So even a small moon, a micro moon, will look very large when it rises. So that's why people say, wow, the media makes a big deal about the supermoon. They go outside at the beginning of the night and they see this big, huge moon rise, and they say, wow, it's so interesting. It is interesting, but it has nothing to do with the supermoon, but it gets people to look at the moon. So the media helps out at least once a year. It gets people to look up at the sky. But either way, but the idea is, when it gets bigger and smaller, we're talking about it goes through phases. The beginning of the month, there is no moon at all. Then it's a banana-shaped moon, then it's a half moon, the first quarter, then it's a gibbous moon, it's called, it's waxing, it's getting bigger in that sense. Then it's a full moon, and the second half of the month, the moon is waning. Waning gets smaller in that sense, it's a gibbous, waning gibbous, a third quarter moon, a crescent, and then disappears. So why does that happen? So let's explain. How much of the moon is lit up right now? Only half. Half is facing the sun, the light. Now it's one side, that's the other side, now it's the bottom, now not the top. It's always the half that's facing the light source will be light, and the other half will be dark. It doesn't matter where you put the moon, the half facing the light will be will be light and the other half will be dark. So if the moon is always half light and half dark, why do we sometimes see a full moon, sometimes nothing? It should always be half. The answer is, how much of this ball could each person in this room see? Could anyone in this room see more than half this ball? So some of the person says, yeah, I see the whole ball. No, don't I see it? So let me explain. Now I see this half. Now I see that half. At once, it's not possible to see more than half the ball. You're looking at this yellow ball. Could you see more? Only half. Every time you look at a ball, only half of the ball is visible and the other half is not visible. If so, if the half that you're looking at is the half that's lit up, you'll see a full moon. It's not full, it's only half, but that's called a full moon. That's a full circle, a full ball. That's called a full moon. The complete half that's facing you is lit up, it's called a full moon. Now the half that's facing you is not lit up, it's a dark half. It's the part of the unlit half is facing you. You can't see unlit half in the sky. That's called the new moon. You can't see anything. Now the half that's facing you is half light, half dark. So you see half a moon. So that means in 20 seconds, why does the moon get bigger and smaller? Nothing to do with the shadow, nothing to do with the Earth black moon. We'll get to that in a minute. That's an eclipse. Has to do with, very simple, the moon is always half light, half dark. A person could only see half the moon. If the half that's facing him is the part that's lit up, he'll see a full moon. If the part that's facing him is only the unlit part, he'll see nothing. The more from the half that's facing him that's lit up, the bigger. From the part that's facing him, the less of it is lit up, the smaller it will be. Now the question is, why do sometimes we see the lit up half and sometimes the dark half? So let's explain. Once a month, the moon will travel around the Earth. Every Shabbos of Arkham, we announce and show the Moled will be at a certain time. Moled means the moon is born. So we announce the time the moon is born on the Shabbos of Arkham, Kodesh Kodesh Bench. What does it mean the moon is born? So let's explain. So once a month, the moon will travel around the Earth. When it comes in between the Earth and the Sun, that's the time that it's born. We'll explain in a minute, but that's the time it's born. About 30 days later, it comes again in between the Earth and the Sun, and then that's it's born for the next month. Every month, when it goes around, it keeps on being born when it's in between. Now, instead of using a globe, it's good to use your head a little bit. My head will be the Earth. Once a month, the moon will travel around my head. When it comes in between my head and the light, that's the time it's born. 30 days later, once again, it's born when it comes in between again. So it's always when it's in between, that's when it's born. Now, I'll state the obvious. As the moon goes around, the light half, the moon half light, half dark, will always face the sun because the light is coming from the sun, obviously. So in the beginning of the month, light half faces the sun. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, always the half that's lit up will face the sun, obviously, because the light is coming from the sun. But what changes is me, the Earth, at the time when the moon is born, which part is facing me? Only the unlit part. I see nothing. That's the beginning of the cycle. That means the moon is born. When it starts the new cycle, I cannot see anything is when it's born. That's called conjunction. And most people, I think the Rambam goes this way, will say that the moedot means conjunction, not the time you can see it. It takes, the Rambam says, about 24 hours after the moedot, it will be the first time possible to see it. If you learn Masechet Hashana, the Rashi over there is mashma, 6 hours after the moedot is possible to see it. But the Rambam and the Baal HaMoreh say about 24 hours later, it's the first time you can see the new moon in the sky. But it's born when the new cycle starts. It's exactly lined up. And only the light half is facing the sun, meaning only dark half, I see nothing. Now I start seeing a banana-shaped moon. 1 week into the month, I see half light, half dark, I see a half a moon. In the middle of the month, I see a full moon, a full circle. It's only half, but I see a full white circle. That's a full moon. 3 weeks into the month, once again, half light, half dark, I see a half moon. But once again, it comes in between me and the sun. I only see the unlit part. I can't see the unlit part of the sky. That is the beginning of the next month. That's how it gets bigger and smaller. If you'd like, after the show, you can try it yourself. It's very enjoyable to see yourself go home, take a light bulb, and any ball doesn't have to be white, and you can see the faces very clear. Put a dark room, a closet, and it'll be very, very clear to see for yourself how it actually happened. So say, why is it like a banana shape? If you do it yourself, you see it's a banana shape. That's the way the shape is. So that's how, what it means, the moon, that's how the moon gets bigger and smaller. And many people ask, if so, every Rosh Chodesh, the moon should block the sun. there should be a solar eclipse every Rosh Chodesh. And the truth is, the only time there could be a solar eclipse is on about, or the day before, about the time of the day of Rosh Chodesh is when a solar eclipse happens. In New York City, we would get a 90% eclipse. 5 years ago in the summer, it was only 75% in New York City. In less than 2 years from now, April 8th, 2024, I think it's Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it'll be 90% in the city. If you want to go up to Syracuse or Rochester, be 100% covered, and it'll be dark for about 4.5 minutes in the middle of the day. There'll be a solar eclipse, and you can see the bright stars in the middle of the day. And right outside Montreal or Cleveland also, it goes in that slant, it'll be dark, but that's going to happen about Rosh Chodesh time. Now, if you look, there's Vav L'Chodesh, when the moon goes around, so there's a shadow of my head on the wall. Now the moon is light. Now the moon got dark because my head blocked the sunlight to reach the moon. Every middle of the month, there should be a lunar eclipse. It happened about a month ago. The moon went inside the Earth's shadow, or the Earth is exactly in between the moon and the sun. And now the Earth is blocking the sunlight to reach the moon. That is a lunar eclipse. And it could only happen on middle of the month, about Tesla of the Chodesh. Why doesn't it happen every single month? And the answer for that is that as the moon goes around, it doesn't go around straight. It goes around on a slant. If so, most of the time it goes a little below the sun, and that's why it doesn't block out the sun, or it goes a little bit higher than the shadow, and the Earth doesn't block it out, and it's still possible to see the moon in the sky. Why does it ever happen? That's a question for itself. But the idea is that as the moon goes around, there will be, most of the time, goes under or below the sun or under or below the shadow, and there isn't an eclipse every single month. Now, people say, when we announce the shul, the Maylid happened, it's a Israel time, New York time, and it's very confusing to people how this works. So let's explain. I think it's pretty simple. I'm not a Rav, I'm not coming to Pasuk and Shilas. You ask your own Rav, but I'll explain the Matthias, and now you have a clear question to ask the Rav what the question is. So it's the game for Tfilas Man Kiddush Levana, Slaves Man Kiddush Levana. If we're working with New York Maylid, it's Israel Maylid, what is that? So let me ask you a question. What time is it on Earth? Well, I don't say what type of silly question is that. What time is it on Earth? Every person on Earth has a different time. The person facing the sun will have the middle of the day. The person facing away will have the middle of the night. And each person somewhere along the way will have a different time. There's no such thing as what time is it on Earth. You can ask, what time is it in a certain location on Earth? But on Earth, there's no such thing. Every person will have a different time. So if I ask you, what time does the moon happen? I mean, what time? Every person will have a different time. The time the moon comes in between the Earth and the sun, we said a drop higher or a drop lower, but when the moon comes in between the Earth and the sun is a certain moment. That time will be every place in the world will have a different time. So when we announce in shul, for example, right now, it's about 9 o'clock. In Los Angeles now, it's about 6 o'clock. And it's a stroll right now, it's about 4 o'clock in the morning. So we're not standing here 4 o'clock because we're in Israel. We're all sitting here now. For New York Eastern time, it's 9 o'clock. Pacific time, 6 o'clock. And Israeli time, 4 o'clock in the morning, which is all the exact same time. So we announced the show, the Maylid will be Wednesday morning, but I got the exact time at 5 o'clock in the morning. I remember what time it was. So we announced the show at 5 o'clock. It's a Israel time, 5 o'clock in the morning. For us, 10 p.m., it's exact same time. So, for example, for Kiddush Levana, the Maylid happens at Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. So, if you want to say Kiddush Levana, you want to wait only 3 days, let's say. So, Friday night, don't say Friday night, we don't say Kiddush Levana on Friday night, but Friday night at 10 o'clock, will already be 3 days because Wednesday morning, 5 o'clock, is Tuesday night, 10 o'clock, the exact same time. Tuesday night, 10 o'clock, the Maylid will happen. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, 10 o'clock, is 3 days from the Maylid. You don't have to wait till 5 o'clock in the morning. 10 o'clock at night is 5 o'clock in the morning, it's the exact same time. And then for a kid, for service man, will be the Chumrah. Maybe you don't have to be Machmer again, I'm not a Rav. and you can ask your own questions. But here it's a simple understanding. If the matter happens at once, when the center of the earth, center of the moon, center of the sun is lined up from right to left or east to west, and it could be north to south, higher or lower, but from right to left, then it will be the moment, and every place in the world will have a different time, and the time we announce and show will be the time that it's at the stroll. Why do we announce the time that it's a stroll? I don't know. I don't have a clear message on this, but the way I understand it is our whole calendar is based on Yerushalayim Moilid. The day we make Rosh Hashanah is all based on the Moilid of Chodesh Tishrei, and it doesn't make a difference if it happened in Yisrael on Tuesday and it happened in New York on Monday. We don't make Rosh Hashanah on Monday in New York and in Yerushalayim on Tuesday. It goes with it happened on Tuesday in Yerushalayim. So Rosh Hashanah will be on Tuesday, even though for us it happened on Monday. It doesn't matter. So makes sense that everything, our whole calendar is based on Yerushalayim. We now have the time of Yerushalayim and Moilid. That is what makes our calendar what happens in the time that happens in Yerushalayim. Now let's just explain a little bit the when will we see the moon in the sky, and then either we'll end with that or we'll have one more thing. So let's turn the lights back on. So we have like this. This is, again, it's not a correct model, but it's easy model to understand how we see it. Every day we have a yellow sun rising in the east. It travels through the sky and it will set in the west. And by night it will be under the table, under the horizon, you can't see the sun. In the beginning of the month, we have a new moon, a black moon. Now, if it's a real model, the top part should be light, the bottom part should be dark. But I'm saying it's the way we view it from Earth, as a black moon. Where's the moon in the sky? Right near the sun. Now, we showed before, the moon near the light bulb. Now, it's not really near the sun. The sun is 93 million miles away, and the moon is 400 times closer, about an average 240,000 miles away from us, much, much closer. But near the sun means in the same place in the sky, right near the sun, even though much closer, they're in the same, lined up near each other. That's what near the sun means. So at the beginning of the month, the moon is near the sun, will rise with the sun, travel with the sun the whole entire day, and set with the sun. So today, where was this? The moon, the whole entire day, the moon was in the sky. You couldn't see it because it wasn't lit up. Only the other side was lit up. So you couldn't see it during the day today. But where was the moon today? The moon was in the sky the whole entire day. The moon was in the sky. That's where the moon was because it travels with the sun. Now, as the moon starts to go around, starts to get a little bigger. So now the moon distant itself a little bit from the sun. It will rise a little bit after the sun. It's a new moon. It gives respect to the sun. It lets the sun travel first. The sun will set first and the moon will set afterwards. The whole entire night, the moon will be below the horizon. You can't see the moon during the night. Next morning, the sun comes up a little bit later. The moon comes up and the moon travels the whole day behind the sun. And even though we can see the moon in the sky, for the first 2 days, you can't see the moon. The sky is too small to see during the daytime, but it's in the sky. Now the sun will set. Shortly afterwards, the moon will set. So tonight, the programs that I looked at, it was not possible to see the new moon in the sky with your eyes, maybe with a telescope. But tomorrow night, the moon will be, but tonight was very, very close to the sun. So they say maybe at 9:04, about 8 minutes ago, if you're in a perfectly open area, maybe with a telescope, maybe you'll be able to see it. At 9:04 for like New York, so two minutes. But that was last night. But tonight, tomorrow night, that's tonight. But tomorrow night, even further, it'll be possible to see the moon in the sky. I didn't check exactly what time it will set, but not much after the sun. A short while after the sun will set, the moon will set. So, Aiden, at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they didn't have a calendar. How do they know what day should be Rosh Chodesh? It means, when I say it's obvious, but if we think about it, it means we have a calendar, we know what day is Pesach, and it's already set in stone for since the day they made the calendar. But then there was no one day it has to be Pesach. Whenever Beis Din said today should be Rosh Chodesh, then Pesach fell out one day. Beis Din said a different day, and Pesach was a different day. It's actually what happens according to what Beis Din said, that will be Rosh Chodesh. So tonight, it's not possible to see the moon. But again, we work with the calendar. It's not a problem. But tomorrow night, you go outside right after the sun sets for a short period of time, you see the moon, and then the moon will be below the horizon for the rest of the night. So the beginning of the month, I said before, if you want to say Kiddush Levana, it sets shortly afterwards. And every day about 48 minutes later. So if you come out, let's say the third or fourth day of the month, and you want to say Kiddush Levana, it will set 2-3 hours after the sun sets. In the winter time, that means it sets by 7:30. You come out at 8 o'clock Maariv, there is no moon in the sky anymore. However, if you wait till Zion Shleimim, like the... So then the sun will rise in the morning, but in the middle of the day, the moon will rise. The moon will be out the second half of the day. When the sun sets, the moon will be very, very high in the sky, and it'll be out till midnight when the sun's on the bottom. For the first 6 hours of the night, the moon will be in the sky, and then the moon will set. In the middle of the month, the moon will be exactly opposite from the sun. The sun will rise in the morning. There'll be no moon in the sky the whole entire day. At sunset, when the sun sets, the moon rises, and the moon will be out the whole entire night. So the beginning of the month, the moon's already out at the beginning of the night. In the middle of the month, the moon's out the whole night. Then, once we go later on in the month, the moon starts rising later and later, and the moon's not out at the beginning of the night. This is what surprises most people. People say, what? The moon's not out at the beginning of the night? They don't believe you, because when do people look for the moon? The only time they look for the moon is for Kiddush Levana. That's only the first half of the month. The second half of the month, we don't look for the moon anymore. So no one realizes you can't find the moon in the beginning of the night. So when the sun rises in the morning, the moon's still in the sky. So toward the end of the month, you'll see the moon in the morning. But if at such ceiling, the moon will set. When the sun sets, there is no moon in the sky. You have to wait till about midnight. The moon will rise, and the moon will be out the second half of the night. Almost this, the moon will rise a little bit before the sun. It's really an old moon. I know the sun's older, but it gives respect to the moon. Let the moon travel first. The moon will set before the sun sets. The sun will set afterwards. The whole entire night, there'll be no moon. Only right before the sun will rise, then the moon will rise for a short period of time. Once the sun rises, you can't see the moon anymore, and the moon will be in the sky during the day. So once again, at the end of the month, we have the sun will rise in the east together with the sun and set in the west with the sun. That's the with the calculation that happens throughout the month. Any questions? Now, we should continue one small interesting thing. Now, 4 minutes. Now, the 4 minutes, I'm saying this thing because I'm speaking about Kiddush Levana. It's not usually part of the presentation, but I think it's very interesting. And it's not, usually I like to try to explain technical rules and things. It's really a calculation, but this is something I heard from Rabbi Reisman, Shaul Reisman, on tape, and I thought it's very interesting to repeat. Talking about the moment, so maybe something you heard the tape. He said it was a snowy night, and I wanted to give people a taste of, said only a small crowd came. I told them 4 things about the moon. One of them was, you're only going to find the moon, just like the sun rises in the east and travels through the southern sky. So the moon also travels through the southern sky. But the other thing he told them was, how do you calculate the moment? That pen and paper. So from 1 mile to the next will take an average 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and a chelik. A chelik is just 3 1/3 seconds. That's how long a chelik is. The way Chazal split up an hour was the 1,080 parts, and it comes out the length of one chelik is 3 1/3 seconds. So if you have a pen of paper, you could calculate from any way that you just add on the length of a month, one to the next, and you'll come out with a calculation. But on Shabbos, you don't have a pen of paper. So you said it happens that you go up to the mountains last week, you went up, let's say, and you come to Shabbos and Baruchim. When's the moment that happened? No one knows. No one brought a calendar. The first week everyone came up, no one brought a calendar. So he says it happened one time in camp. They were looking around, they opened up the Amud, and they found last year's calendar. He said, oh, last year's calendar? That's not a big deal. And last year's calendar, a very easy way to calculate. So we'll try to simplify it, and you'll hear how simple it is. It's not that simple, fine, but I think it's pretty simple. If you have like this, if you know when the moilah happened now, you add on 12 months worth of the length of a moilah, it'll come out next year's. Now, if the moilah would be exactly 28 days, that's how long it takes from one to the next. So we know what happened Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. And you know a year later, it happened at Wednesday morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, because every moilah is exactly 4 weeks, exactly. But it's not. It's a little bit longer than that. How much longer? If it's 29 days, it's one day longer than 4 weeks. a year before. I'm sorry. You have to add on also 12 hours, also 44 minutes, and 1/3, 3/3 seconds. So even though it's really 29 days, we don't have to care about the 28 days because it's just 4 weeks. We add on 1 day and then 12 hours, 44 minutes, and 50. If you take that number, 1 day, 12 hours, and change, and you multiply that by 12, what do you come out with? 1 day, 12 hours is 1.5. 1.5 times 12 is 18. 18 days. Again, we don't care about a full week because it comes back to the same place. We not go 14 days. You're left with 4 days. So whenever the moilah happened this year, next year, it's 4 days later than what happened this year. It's also 44 minutes on the chalik, and that sounds complicated. He simplified it very simple. Let's change it to 45 minutes. 45 minutes is 3/4 of an hour. 3/4 times 12 is 9 hours. 12 hours is full hours. 3/4 of that is 9 hours. So 45 minutes times 12 is 40, is 9 hours. Now it's not 45 minutes, it's only 44 minutes. So subtract 12 minutes, that's all. 9 hours minus 12 minutes. So he went ahead, he added on 4 days, 8 hours, 48 minutes, or added on 9 hours and minus 12 minutes. And then every month is an extra chalik. You add on extra 12 halakha for the month from the year before, and you come out with the mother. If that helps you, it's interesting. Piece of information. Thank you so much. I hope you all understood.